This Sunday, we have a special treat. We have our very own Pastor Denise bringing the Word of God. Now, I say this to anybody who I get a chance to say this to. I love Pastor Denise. I love to serve God with her. I love to serve our church and lead with her. She's been amazing in so many ways. She's a dear friend. I not just consider her someone that I serve in ministry with, but she is a sister to me. I love her so much. Her family is precious to me. Her son, her husband, he's okay too. No, I love Khan. And I know he's cringing right now because he doesn't like to be mentioned. But we have a special treat because anytime Pastor Denise preaches, which we don't get to hear her enough, but anytime she does, there's always because there's something brimming in her heart. She prays and she waits on God and she listens to see if there might be a word. Trust me, I want her to preach a lot and I'm always asking her, but I've learned that it's best for it to come out of her, for her to say, hey, I have a word. And whenever she comes and brings that word, it's always been such a blessing to our church. And so I want to encourage you this morning, lean in, open your Bible, get some notepad, however you can take notes, and listen for what God is going to say to us this morning through our dear sister, Pastor Denise.
Good morning, Hope Astoria. It's my joy to get to be with you on this, the last Sunday of the year, and having just celebrated Christmas. I hope that this Christmas, God met you and your families with his love and peace, even as we close out a very challenging year. Well, this morning, I want to lead us through a series of reflections. So you might want to just grab a pen and paper or a journal, really whatever could help you to prayerfully reflect and tune into God today. And as we look at God's Word today, what we'll do is we'll think together about Christmas that we just celebrated, and we'll dive deeply into all that it means for us that Christ was willing to step into our shoes and become human. Now, here at our house, we have a little toy nativity set, and I've been telling my 2-year-old son about how Jesus was born humbly in a manger. And in the Bible, as this Christmas story is unfolding, it says this in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. All this, meaning all this Christmas story, took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Now, this is referring to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who foretold of the birth of Jesus. And Isaiah said, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So Christmas happened in order to fulfill God's promise and demonstrate to us his name, that his name is Emmanuel. God with us. Who he is, his character, is God with us. Well, this year, perhaps more so than any other in recent history, there are a slew of reasons why we might understandably feel quite alone. We are literally required not to interact with one another in person. We're deprived of most of our normal social interactions. We're navigating the deep political divides that run through our nation, and for many of us, also run through our friendships and our families. And we're acutely aware of and reckoning with the injustices in our society that leave many feeling not only disenfranchised, but dehumanized. And there are so many things contributing to the loneliness in our souls. Now, some of us are actually living alone, experiencing perhaps more solitude than we ever imagined or wanted, and others of us might be living with others, with family or roommates, and yet perhaps still feel alone in some parts of our hearts. Because loneliness isn't about just physical proximity, but rather it's about feeling met in our souls. Here's how Psychology Today, which is a prominent psych magazine, here's how they describe it. Loneliness isn't the same thing as being alone. Some solitude is good for you, but being alone needs to be a choice in order to be healthy. It's also quite possible to feel lonely even when you're around people, if you don't feel as though those around you truly understand you, or if you fear that they wouldn't accept you if they knew the real you, then being around people won't necessarily resolve your lonely feelings. Researchers have found that loneliness is just as lethal as smoking 15 cigarettes per day. Wow, I had no idea that the impact of loneliness on our well-being and health could be measured in cigarettes, but that's what this academic study revealed. That's startling. And that means that we're in a pandemic of COVID, but we're also in a pandemic of loneliness. And unfortunately, the reality is that Even in the best of times, when we're not dealing with a global pandemic, no one on earth, not even a terrific spouse or best friend, can know us completely, such that they understand and feel what it is to be in our shoes in every aspect of our lives. But with Christmas comes good news for us every year, and maybe particularly this year, we need to be hearing it again, that with Christmas, the birth of Christ, it reminds us that God is uniquely able and completely willing to enter into our lived experience. Our joys, our sufferings, our struggles, whatever they might be, He's come to us, He's with us. And because He's God, He's the only one who can understand us as though He were us. We are no longer alone in any aspect of our lives or our hearts when we experience relationship with God. God has declared Himself to be Emmanuel, God with us, not only at Christmas, but always. And so a question for us today, and where I'd like to begin with our reflections, is where do you need to know that God is Emmanuel, that God is with you? What situation or relationship comes to mind where you need to know that you're not left alone, where you need to know that someone is there to share your weariness or to help with your burdens, or who simply understands you? Where do you need to know that God Emmanuel comes to you and enters in? He takes on all that you're going through as His own, just as He did at Christmas. Let's take a moment to reflect and talk to God. What I'll do is I'll actually put a little countdown clock on your screen, and I want to invite you to now enter into a space of reflection and prayer. If you want, you can grab that pen and paper or just do whatever's helpful for you, really. And as you enter into prayer, you can consider these questions that will remain on screen. Where do you need to know that God is Emmanuel? He's with you. What situation, what relationship, what aspect of life or part of your heart comes to mind? Take a moment to talk to God about it, and then I want to invite you to pause and listen with an open heart to God. Just see what comes to mind. It's the first thing that comes to mind. It could be a thought, a scripture, an image, a song, a feeling, you know, whatever it might be. Just take that space to pray out your heart to God and to receive. Go back and forth in that. So let's just take that space now in prayer. And again, these questions will remain on screen. And even though there will be a little clock, please don't feel bound by it or rushed. You can always pause this sermon. Amazing, like magic, right? Take the time you need and then just continue when you're ready. Okay, so let's enter in now. Come, Holy Spirit. Well, as we regather, if you're still in the midst of prayer, again, please don't rush through. Again, please, feel free to just pause this message and continue to press in, because what matters is you and God and what you have to say to each other today. And I also want to encourage you that if you felt like you received anything from God as you were praying, and if it's loving and biblical, then hang on to it as a personal encouragement from God to you today. Well, Soren Kierkegaard, a Danish theologian, once said this: "You have loved us first, O God. Alas, we speak of it in terms of history as if you loved us first but a single time, rather than that without ceasing, you have loved us first many times and every day in our whole life through. When we wake up in the morning and turn our soul toward you, you were there first. You have loved us first. If I rise at dawn and at that same second turn my soul toward you in prayer, you are there ahead of me. You have loved me first. When I withdraw from the distractions of the day and turn my soul toward you, you are there first and thus forever. And we speak ungratefully as if you have loved us first only once." I think in this quote, we get such a beautiful reminder of how it's not just at Christmas, one time in a historic act thousands of years ago, that God loved us and took action to come to us and share in all our cares and struggles. It wasn't only at that time, but rather it's still happening. It's ongoing. It's every day. It's now that God continues to come to us, continues to initiate with us, and continues to be here with us in the midst of whatever struggles and cares we're facing. He is always Emmanuel, God with us. He declared himself to be there for us when he came to us that first Christmas, and he doesn't change. And as we take that in again this Christmas season, perhaps desperately need to hear that again this Christmas season, and as we hear God speaking that truth over our personal and specific situations, I believe that God at the same time also calls us. He invites us to follow in his footsteps. We have been loved. We are loved. God has chosen to enter into our experience and take it on as his own. And now could we do the same for one another? Last week, we started to unpack Philippians 2, 5 through 8, as Doug beautifully talked about Christ's kingship and sacrifice, how Christ bears the weight for us that we cannot bear ourselves. And this week, we're going to build off of what we learned and now look at the call to action that's in those verses. Here's what Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 says. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." I just want to pause here and note that this opening statement provides the context for all that follows. Everything we're subsequently being told about who Christ is and what he's done for us is recounted here so that we can learn to do likewise for one another. So again, Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says this: "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus has shown us this Christmas what love looks like, and apparently, it looks like being willing to lay down our comfort to join in someone else's suffering. Apparently, it looks like choosing to enter the fray when we don't have to get our hands dirty. Apparently, it looks like putting ourselves in someone else's skin and shoes. That's literally what Jesus did. He put himself in our skin and shoes so that we could know and empathize at the deepest level with someone else's experiences, perspectives, and struggles. I notice as we read this scripture that, I don't know about you, but I like the first part. Having the same mindset as Christ, that sounds great. Big yes and amen to that. But everything else that follows, that unpacks what that means, that all sounds kind of terrible. I mean, nothing in our human nature attracts us to the idea of making ourselves nothing, being the servant instead of the one in control, humbling ourselves, obeying, or dying to ourselves. That all just sounds kind of atrocious. There's clearly sacrifice and discomfort involved in loving this way. It's not just second nature. It doesn't just come easily. It's not just our default state where we're probably already doing it without thinking about it, which, if we're honest, is what I think we'd all like to assume. I'll speak for myself, you know, what I'd like to assume when I read scriptures like this. Well, thankfully, this same scripture goes on to encourage us. It goes on to say this in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, emphasis on the therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we see here that for Christ, there was a great reward that followed that loving sacrifice. And in many other scriptures, this principle is discussed, where we're told that it's by laying down our lives that we find true life. Somehow in God's system, we gain and grow through giving, through uncomfortable love. And there's this weird thing about love where it can nourish us at the same time as we're pouring out. As an example of this, I was recently watching Do For One's 2020 celebration video, their Tapestry of Light video. And Do For One is a wonderful nonprofit that exists to enable people who don't have disabilities and people who do have disabilities to meet and become friends. And over again in this beautiful video, friends with and without disabilities talked about how mutually satisfying and what a shared blessing these friendships have been. And in just my little bit of experience with Do For One, I've powerfully experienced that as well. You walk into a Do For One event, I've walked into Do For One events, mistakenly thinking I'm a volunteer, but then you leave realizing, oh no, I'm the one who needed this. I'm the one who's been blessed by this chance to get to be part of someone else's life, this window into others' experiences, this joining in friendship. I've gained far more than anything I gave. I think in life, we tend to think of ourselves like volunteers. When we think about entering into someone else's pain or someone else's struggles, we think we're just going in with something to offer and we're going to have to give and not receive. We don't realize the blessing we're missing out on when we hold back from loving others, from choosing. And I believe, like Christ, we do have to choose to enter into someone else's shoes and share in their experience of life. We're tempted to see it as just depleting, a situation where we're giving out and then we'll have to recharge somewhere else to make up for it. And especially in a year like 2020, where we're so tapped out, it can feel like, do we have anything more to give? And I want to acknowledge we're human. We do have limits. We're not meant to be everything for anyone, Only God can do that. And at the same time, we have to be careful that a mentality of scarcity doesn't become our primary guiding post. It's so easy for that kind of mentality to become a barrier, an excuse to not love in the way that God's inviting us into. And we are called to love like Christ, a love that, as we see in Philippians, is sacrificial and that stretches us to empathize with and enter into the experiences of people who we don't otherwise have to engage with or understand. Now, of course, not everything is like Do For One. In some situations, loving others is not immediately gratifying. It does feel sacrificial and hard in the moment. And yet, there's still a reality that in the economy of God, as we follow the example of Christ, which we're again clearly called to do, that there is a God-given treasure to be found. And it's not just human beings, and it's not what we see in our circumstances that we rely on for that. But it's God himself who does it, who brings his increase in our lives, his growth in our hearts, and who glorifies himself when we grow in love. There is treasure to be found. So as we reflect this Christmas on how Christ shared in our burdens, who are we called to do that for as well? And in particular, for whom does it not come so easily for us? Who do we tend to overlook or perhaps not care to get involved with or easily dismiss or not even maybe realize that we're doing that? Now, if we want to grow, it makes sense that we have to kind of push on the limits of our love a bit in order to expand our capacity to love. So we can start by just admitting that for all of us, there are probably people in our lives whom we're not as naturally inclined to connect with, people we don't as easily empathize with, people where it's not intuitive to us to understand them, and it's perhaps easier or default to not even think of them. As we allow God to speak to us, who comes to mind for you? Maybe it's an individual, maybe it's a group of people. I think that if we allow God, he's likely to bring people to mind because he's pretty invested in growing us in love. And as we just said, that involves calling us to activity that pushes our boundaries of love a bit. So who might it be? For you, for me, for each of us. Perhaps it's a friend who you know is in a tough spot, but you haven't had time yet to reach out to them, or maybe you haven't wanted to reach out because you know it might be messy and you feel like, well, it's not your problem. Or maybe it's a giving email from a nonprofit. There are so many great nonprofits helping people in need in our city and around the world. And you might have received a whole slew of emails like that a few weeks back on Giving Tuesday. And it's so easy to just click delete and not always feel like we have the time and emotional energy to read about other people's struggles and consider what our response would be. Or perhaps it's the civil unrest and systemic injustice that we're hearing so much about in the news. But it takes active intentionality for me and you to listen to voices that are not our own. Perhaps it's a colleague at work who's different from you, who's calling for more equality in the workplace, and it hadn't crossed your mind that your workplace even was unequal. You know, who is it for you, for me, for each of us? We all have people that God's calling us to grow in love for. Today, let's take some time to hear from God and talk with him. And as you do, would you consider telling God as you begin, God, I'm open. I'm open to you nudging me. I'm opening my heart to that. Who are you calling me to see that I'm not seeing right now? And to love and to come to better understand and empathize with, where it just hasn't been second nature for me to do that. To perhaps even help shoulder some of their burdens as my own. Let's pause for a moment and pray, and I'll again put some reflection prompts up on the screen. You can feel free to pray freely or to use those prompts as you see fit. And again, we'll have a clock up on the screen, but please don't feel bound by it. If you're engrossed in prayer, you can always feel free again to pause this message, just continue again when you're ready. So here are the questions and prayer prompts, and let's enter into prayer now. Come, Lord Jesus. Thanks so much for joining in prayer. Honestly, wherever you're at, I think just by starting to talk to God about it and by opening our hearts to him, he's honored by that. And praise God that his mission is one of love. We've celebrated that love this Christmas and received it anew for ourselves, much needed. And we've recognized that we're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps and show that same love to one another. Jesus has entered into our skin and our shoes, literally, and we're now called to enter in to other people's shoes. Well, as we move still deeper today, and I'd say we're diving now into the very deep end, as we begin our final segment of reflection today, let's look together at how we can extend this love that we've been talking about all the way to completion, to the furthest places. Could we extend it even to those whom it's most difficult for us to love? To those who have acted as our enemies, to those who don't love us, to those who even actively harm us and maybe don't recognize it or aren't sorry for it. We are shockingly called in Scripture to love our enemies. And Jesus shows us what this love looks like at Christmas because he chooses to be born and to share in our human experience, knowing that by making that choice, he's ultimately going to die a painful death at our hands. That's going to be the result of him coming to us. He doesn't come to a people who are repentant and holy and worthy. You know, he comes to a people who are sick, full of the sickness of sin and evil. And yet he still chooses to throw his lot in with us. He still chooses to care for us. And he comes not with a heart of judgment, but with one of grace and empathy and understanding. Jesus shows us that empathy is a big part of love. It's the ability to not only do the right thing, but to see the humanity in someone else and to understand the experience of being in their shoes, even for someone very different from us, even for someone very broken. Jesus loves us this way in his birth, and he shows us this same love in his death. This is what Jesus says when he's dying on the cross in Luke 23, verse 24. He famously says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." There are so many things Jesus could have said as he hung on the cross dying. He could have said, "Father, I know you will avenge me. I trust you. Father, show them the error of their ways. Fix them." But what he says is, "Father, forgive them." And here's the most remarkable part of that statement. Why? Why does he ask for grace for them? Why does he seek their good, their thriving? He says it's because they do not know what they're doing. And when he says that, it shows he understands them. He sees them sympathetically. Now, he doesn't condone what they do. Let's be very clear. He asks the Father to forgive them, so he's declaring that what they're doing is wrong and requires forgiveness. And yet his heart towards those who are unjustly crucifying him, insulting him, taunting him, delighting in his downfall and agony, his heart towards even those who are in the midst of the act of killing him remains so soft. And the way that he speaks shows that he gets them. He's put themselves himself in their shoes. He understands them and seeks to understand them. He knows what's going on for them even while they're harming him. And out of all of that, he treats them with compassion and empathy. This Christmas, we're celebrating Jesus' willingness to put himself in our shoes. We're so deeply thankful for that. And then he asks us to follow him in doing that for one another, all the way through to the deepest places. Can you imagine what the world would be like if Christians actually did this? If no amount of sin or evil could stop us from loving even those who harm us? Can you imagine for us personally the kind of freedom we'd have, the kind of health and overflowing love we'd have in our hearts, the kind of fruit we'd bear in the world? How amazing that would be, and yet how far it can seem for us. When it comes to loving our enemy, it can often feel beyond us. It's not just a stretch. It breaks the bank. It goes so far, it can even feel unfair to ask people to love this way, or unfair to us to be asked to do it. So then what do we do? Because unfortunately, we all can name people who have harmed us or who even are still harming us, whether knowingly or unknowingly. How can we love them like Christ loved us, like we celebrate at Christmas and at Easter? Well, as Pastor Chris mentioned a couple Sundays ago, our hope can only come from Christ in us and us abiding in Christ. And this is where I think a story might help illustrate for us what this can look like. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch woman who worked to help Jewish people and those at risk from the Nazis during World War II. And in the process of her work, she and her sister were arrested and taken to a concentration camp where they experienced terrible abuses, and her sister ultimately died. After the war, Corrie helped people who were traumatized by the war to find healing, and she ended up speaking around the world on God's power to help us to heal. She describes how one day she was at a church in Munich, Germany, and a Nazi officer approached her. It was her first time actually encountering someone who had been a soldier at her concentration camp, had been one of her actual tormentors. And in that moment, everything she had experienced flooded back. She says that as he stuck out his hand to shake her, she felt frozen with nothing but hate in her heart. But then she prayed firmly in the quiet of her heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought your love into my heart. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. And as she was praying, she stuck out her hand to shake his, and in that moment she describes how an overwhelming love for this soldier suddenly flooded her whole being. And her testimony from there out is that what God calls us to, he also enables. We are not able, but he is. Jesus living in us is able. When it comes to this kind of love, it forces us to realize that we don't ever love through our own human ability. We can't do it through ourselves. We can only want it or want to want it. We can turn to God and ask for his help. We can desire to love people beyond what society considers necessary, beyond what seems like a reasonable limit to most people. And so for our last reflection today, I want to invite us to consider. And please know that this reflection is ultimately also for our own heart's sake, that we would experience a new depth of love, freedom, and healing in us as we love others. And so again, I want us to consider as we prayerfully reflect for the last time today, who do we not just tend to overlook or ignore, but who seems extraordinarily difficult to love, perhaps even repulsive to love? Let's take this time and allow God to bring up to us anyone that he wants to, whether an individual or people groups, and whomever God brings to mind, let's allow him to raise our faith that since he's having us think of them, he's in this. He's able to empower us to love in a way that we're not able to love on our own. So let's enter into a time of reflection and prayer now again. You can pray as you desire freely and or use reflection questions we'll be putting up if they're helpful to you. And again, we'll have a clock, but please feel free to pray as long as you feel led. As we've said, you can always pause this message and resume when you're ready. We encourage you to do that. So let's pray now. Come, Lord, we invite you in this time. Amen. Well, as we wrap up today, it's been great to enjoy this sacred space with God, allow Him to speak to us, share our hearts with Him. And it's been great to meditate together on Jesus, on His birth and death, and be reminded of His tremendous love for us. There's really nothing like Christmas to remind us of the lengths God will go to show us that He is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. Today, may you know that God enters into your every experience, shares in your burdens, and uniquely understands what it is to be in your shoes. You are not alone. And as we're loved by God, and as Jesus dwells within us, may He increase our capacity to understand, empathize with, and love more and more people, just as He loved us. Praise God, He is able. Let's pray together now as we close. Jesus, you see every one of us exactly where we're at in a way that goes beyond any human understanding. You understand us, Lord, completely. You know us completely, and you are with us in every aspect of our lives. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that for every person who's joining in this Sunday service, who's joining in this time of prayer, that you would be at work in their hearts, planting deep in their hearts your love, the truth that you love them, that they're not alone, that you're with them. And Jesus, in this year, you see, it's been such a challenging year. We need you. We acknowledge our need of you, Lord, more than ever. We recognize, God, our dependence. And Father God, we pray that as we experience and are renewed by your love, as we're encouraged by your love, would you enable us to love one another, to grow, to increase and expand in our capacity to love, to become more like you, in understanding, empathizing with, choosing to enter into the experience of others, even those who feel so far from us, Lord. Thank you, God, that it's not through ourselves, but it's through you that this is possible. Jesus, may you and us love others well. Enable us to love well. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.